Welcome to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham in for Cynthia Caddy. Bills in both houses of Congress would require political campaigns to notify the government if a foreign national or an agent of a foreign power offers to help the campaign. This comes after the Senate Intelligence Committee called for congressional action on this issue. Representative Alyssa Slotkin is a Democrat from Michigan's 8th Congressional District, and she's a sponsor of what's being called the SHIELD Act. That stands for Stopping Harmful Interference in Elections for a Lasting Democracy, and it will be voted on later today. Representative Slotkin joins us now. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's get some background. What did the Senate Intelligence Committee find that prompted it to call for a congressional action?
Well, I think there's been, I think the SHIELD Act, which we're putting forward and voting on this week, is not something that came specifically just from any one committee suggesting it. I think it came from an acknowledgement from people across the political spectrum that foreigners should not be able to muck around in our election systems, right? Either in our actual voting systems or in our political process. So we put forward the SHIELD Act. A couple of bills that I was the original co-sponsor on have been incorporated into this act. A lot of pieces are actually very bipartisan, which I'm really proud of. And it does a whole bunch of things. One of them is, as you mentioned, you know, if a foreign power or foreign agent comes to you with, you know, information on your political opponent, you must report that to the FBI. That's a component of this bill. There's other great pieces. I'm happy to walk you through it. But
yeah, that's what we're looking for. I mean, we wanted that broad overview. But, you know, as you say, part of the SHIELD Act is your work. What did you include in this package?
Yeah. So number one, what was originally called the FIRE Act. So if someone comes to you, a foreigner, offering information on your opponent, or anyone, you got to come report it to the FBI. Number two, on advertisements, political advertisements. I think Democrats, Republicans, independents can all agree that we don't believe that foreigners should be buying ads for or against a candidate in the U.S. political system. This one's particularly important to Michigan because we know we were really targeted in 2016 with these Russian-purchased ads. The next part is that you can't exchange campaign information with foreigners. So polling data or, you know, political insight, that's something we shouldn't be sharing with foreigners. We can't share them with other political groups often, so you shouldn't share them with foreigners. And then lastly, you can't mislead people on how to actually vote. We know from things that happened in North Carolina, things that happened in Texas, they were groups that were organized around just confusing people on how they could actually vote on election day.
The larger issue of foreign disinformation, a lot of that's spread on social media. Most of those who share those memes and information don't understand that it is foreign disinformation.
Yeah.
When you have a sizable portion of the American electorate actively participating in spreading this disinformation, how do you stop that?
Yeah, it's a great question. So a couple of things. In this bill, we actually call for disclosure requirements. So I want there to be a little label at the bottom of anything that's paid for by a foreigner. You know, if they're doing just a general, you know, issue ad, you know, talking about the environment or talking about, you know, gun issues, I want there to be a little label at the bottom of that Facebook post that says this was purchased by a foreigner. And therefore, before someone forwards it, hopefully they read the disclaimer and say, huh, I don't want to be involved in spreading foreign purchased information. That doesn't sound good to me. So there's all kinds of disclosure requirements. And I think that's really important. The other thing that I co-sponsored, a separate bill that's on digital education, you know, helping our kids understand how to look at this new media and discern what's really kind of truth and what's not. Who to trust, who not to trust. And I think that, you know, when I was growing up in the 80s, we just didn't have this need to learn and understand what we're being presented with on social media. And I think that it's high time that our kids be educated since they're going to be in an all-digital world.
I want to tap your former expertise. You're a former CIA analyst. You also worked in other aspects of national security. Given that, what are your biggest concerns about foreign influence on American elections that would not occur to the rest of us?
Yeah, I mean, I think that to me, What really helped me from my previous life is I've seen this strategy before, particularly by the Russians. You know, when I was at the Pentagon, I dealt a lot with the Russians, and we used to watch them try and interfere and influence the political processes in other countries. I used to watch it in Eastern Europe. And they had a pretty simple playbook. And their playbook was you sow dissent among the citizens of, let's say, a place like Romania or, you know, an Eastern European country. You put out information that has, you know, Romanian political parties at each other's throats, because if the Romanians are distracted amongst each other, then they won't spend as much time wondering what the heck Russia is doing in their country and what kind of things Russia is doing in their near abroad. And what I have seen from my previous life is that the Russians in particular are trying to apply that same strategy at a much bigger scale here in the United States and in places like Michigan. If Americans are polarized, if we're arguing and fighting with each other, then we don't realize that Russia is attempting to really make some important gains militarily. They're attempting to sort of reclaim their superpower status. And I'm not saying they're perfect at it. They're certainly ham-handed sometimes. But I have seen this movie before just in Eastern Europe.
This vote on the SHIELD Act is to take place amidst a very tense moment in the House. The partisan divide is intense because of the ongoing impeachment inquiry. Is there real bipartisan support for the SHIELD Act in the House and, for that matter, in the Senate?
So there's definitely bipartisan support for a bunch of the bills that are contained in the SHIELD Act. I co-sponsored a bill about the ads, about, you know, preventing foreigners from buying ads for or against a candidate with Representative Elise Stefanik from upstate New York, who's a Republican. So there are definitely bipartisan pieces. Unfortunately, Republican leadership is pushing pretty hard for their members to vote against this bill. I hope that's not the case. I hope that some brave Republicans see that this shouldn't be a partisan issue. But what I hope and what I'm recommending to my leadership is that let's pass this giant SHIELD Act. And then let's break apart the pieces that are truly bipartisan and introduce them as separate bills so that if someone isn't comfortable voting on the entirety of the SHIELD Act, if my Republican colleagues don't feel comfortable, that maybe there are four or five pieces that they do feel comfortable with. And I'm a pragmatist. Something is better than nothing. And if there's bipartisan things that can go all the way through the Senate and be signed into law, that's what I want to focus on.
Well, let's talk about that a little more. I mean, while Congress is working to stop foreign influence in elections, President Donald Trump recently asked China to investigate political opponents. Testimony during a hearing yesterday was called damning by many members of Congress. It indicated President Trump did want to hold up funding to Ukraine until the Ukrainian president publicly stated he would investigate a company connected to presidential candidate Joe Biden's son. If I were a Republican in Congress and a supporter of Donald Trump, the SHIELD Act would seem to be putting me in an awkward spot. What are they saying?
Well, to be honest, we've been working on the broad pieces of the SHIELD Act since we got sworn into Congress. So I first introduced one of the pieces of the SHIELD Act back in the winter. So long before the conversation on impeachment inquiry was really as live as it is now, I hope that my Republican colleagues see this as separate and distinct, and I hope that they, you know, do their duty and they swore an oath just like I did to protect and defend the Constitution, and we can't let our democratic processes be influenced by foreigners. And that goes for Russians today. It could go for Iranians, as we know, as reported, you know, have been trying to muck around in our political process. It can go for any foreign group now and into the future, regardless of president and who the president is. So I've been talking to some of my Republican colleagues. I think many of them want to vote for it, and we'll get a chance to see how they turn out in the next couple of hours.
If the SHIELD Act or part of the act passes, will President Trump sign it?
I don't know. I wouldn't deign to know. I think most importantly is it's got to go over to Senator McConnell, and I very much hope the Senate gives it an up or down vote. We've had a problem getting our bills through the Senate, and I know that lots of bills that come over from the Democratic House are not going to pass the Republican Senate. I'm a realist. but I just believe they are owed an up or down vote. That's all. And I would say that whether we had a Democratic, you know, majority leader or a Republican majority leader, when Harry Reid wasn't pushing bills through the House of through the Senate, when he was the Democratic Senate leader, that wasn't right either. And I think an up or down vote for some of these really important bills that protect our elections should be the bare minimum of living up to our duty to defend and protect the Constitution.
If the SHIELD Act does become law, will it end the problem of foreign interference in American elections, or are there further steps that need to take place?
So I think there's always more that we are going to need to do, only because media is changing so quickly, technology is changing so quickly, and that's a very difficult thing to do, protect our most valued democratic system as the world just changes around us so quickly. A lot of the SHIELD Act is actually just updating laws that came into effect when we had like the advent of TV, right? It was like, oh Lord, we have a new technology. It's called television. And we want to make sure our election systems don't have foreigners buying ads on TV in an election. Well, this is just updating a lot of kind of outdated standards. And I think it's just going to be an ongoing challenge. In Michigan, we're blessed to have Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson. She is an expert at this, at protecting our Michigan elections. But we're going to need to be vigilant as technology changes around us.
Alyssa Slotkin represents Michigan's 8th Congressional District. She is a sponsor of the SHIELD Act, which aims to stop foreign influences in U.S. elections. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Coming up, we'll talk with the Michigan History Center about the not-so-final resting place of Michigan's boy governor, Stevens T. Mason.
They sort of petitioned to have Stevens T. removed from his burial place in New York and brought back to Detroit.
That's after the break. This is Stateside.